produced by Life Acumen, helping organizations build high-performance culture.
Why do some people not falter despite suffering real adversities, while some others cannot seem to get their confidence back after a layoff? We all face rough times in life, but what makes us able to overcome those challenges and thrive in spite of them?
Welcome to Life Acumen at Work. Here is your host, Vinod Wadhwani.
Hello and welcome to the insights from the episode, What Makes Resilience? I'm your host, Vinod Wadhwani here. This insight is about the mystical ability to improvise and finding strength together when facing adversity. In the concentration camps, resilient inmates used to pocket pieces of string or wire whenever they found them. The string or wire might later become useful to fix a pair of shoes, perhaps, which in freezing conditions might make the difference between life and death. In 1972, a plane carrying 45 passengers from Uruguay to Chile crashed into the mountains in the Andes, split in half and hurtled down a snowy slope. For the 33 survivors, this was just the beginning of an extraordinary ordeal in sub-zero temperatures and extremely inhuman conditions. Over the next 72 days, the group battled shock, frostbite, avalanches, and starvation. 17 of the 33 survivors of the plane crash died during the 72 days ordeal, and only 16 of them could finally make it. The story about this plane crash and the extreme measures taken by the group to survive were captured into the popular book and movie by the name Alive. Many researchers have tried to analyze not just how these men survived, but why. Every survivor's story shared a common theme. A key to their resilience was hope. Most of the 45 people on board were rugby players in their late teens and early 20s, traveling to an exhibition match. Damage to the plane's radio meant they could not send communication, but they could still receive them. Their first plan was to wait for rescue in the shelter of the plane. They all believed that rescue was their only chance of survival, and they clung to that hope with an almost religious fervor. 9 days later, their supplies were depleted. The group was forced to turn to their only remaining source of food, the flesh from the frozen bodies of their teammates who had died. Between them, they had a pact that anyone who dies, his body will be used as food for others to survive. On the morning of the 10th day, when the survivors first learned that all search and rescue efforts had been abandoned, they took responsibility of their survival in their own hands. After waiting for 2 months for the weather to turn, two of the survivors embarked upon the treacherous journey to find help. The first challenge for the two survivors was climbing up a long steep slope from the fuselage to the mountain pass above, in order to see where they were and decide upon a direction and route to trek towards. It was a brutal 3-day slog in oxygen-deprived air, up a 40-degree angle headwall of ice and snow from the fuselage to the mountain pass 3,000 feet higher. What they saw from the vantage point was a sea of mountain spikes in all directions. There was no obvious escape route. It was extremely disheartening, to say the least. But instead of giving up right then and there, Nando and Roberto, the two survivors, decided to travel towards what seemed like a possible valley in the far distant west. They had no ropes, boots, ice axes, tents, maps, or compass. The temperature dropped to more than 20 degrees below freezing after sunset. their makeshift sleeping bag had been sewn by other survivors using insulation salvaged from the plane wreckage. It barely worked, and the two suffered hypothermia on several terrifying nights when death seemed to be tapping them on the shoulder. Over the next 7 days, Nando and Roberto descended 5,000 feet and trekked 54 kilometers down perilous avalanche chutes, over crevasse-laden glaciers, across raging streams, down treacherously steep rock slopes, and later through thick underbrush. There were many instances on their journey when they could have died by avalanche, by falling, by hypothermia, or by exhaustion. Eventually, they descended into a remote fertile valley and encountered three horsemen 10 days after they had set out from the fuselage. Against almost impossible odds, they had made it. They had completed a miracle trek. We normally think of hope as something individuals hold in their heads and in their hearts. But people can build hope together. By creating a shared identity, individuals can form a group that has a past and a brighter future. One survivor explained thus, and I quote, "Some people say, if there is life, there is hope. But for us, it was the opposite. If there is hope, there is life." Unquote. During long, cold and hungry days, the crash survivors prayed together. They planned projects to launch after returning to civilization. One passenger spoke of opening a restaurant. Another dreamt of having a farm. Many wrote letters to their families declaring their will to live. In one of the documentaries on the crash, one survivor said, and I quote, "To maintain faith at all times, despite our setbacks, we had to become alchemists, changing tragedy into miracle, depression into hope." Researchers further analyzed that hope by itself wasn't enough. Though hope keeps people from giving into despair, it was hope combined with the zeal to find strength together, which eventually helped 16 of them to survive. Researchers find that hope springs up and persists when communities of people generate new images of possibility. Believing in new possibilities helps people fight back against the idea of permanence and propels them to seek out new options. They find the will and the way to move forward. Psychologists call this grounded hope, the understanding that if you take action, you can make things better. If you wish to explore more on this theme, you may like to read Alive by Peter Reed, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, and Option B by Sheryl Sandberg. You may also like to listen to the full episode of What Makes Resilience, in which we explore why do some people and some companies buckle under pressure, what makes others bend and ultimately bounce back, what exactly is the quality of resilience that carries people through life. We explore the mindset of recovery, the challenges of regaining confidence, and what it takes to create resilient communities. You may also like to explore more episodes in the Life Acumen at Work podcast. In this podcast series, I explore topics having to do with leadership, organization culture, work-life harmony, and career transitions, among other things. The views, opinions, and anecdotes I share in this podcast are primarily reflections from my coaching conversations with corporate leaders. The coaching agendas that evolve from these conversations and subject matter readings. Thank you for listening.
Produced by Life Acumen. helping organizations build high-performance culture.